Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. As always, I'm here until the hour of 11. Well, thank you very much, Michael, for holding it up, on the serious aspect or like serious part of things. This is where I take over world to start making fun of, a lot of people, I'm afraid. A lot of people. Well, let's start with what's trending now. White people, where the heck are you? Now, white people, especially Afrikaners, I have one question. 80,000 of you guys applied for refugee status, so only 49, The numbers are somewhat very difficult to keep up with. Some sources say 49, some say 50. Out of 80,000, really? Does that mean that the rest of those of you, 80,000 minus 49, that's 7, what, hang on a second, 7,951 of those of you that were rejected? At this point, I have so many questions, like just how, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being not an Afrikaner at all, where the 10 being very Afrikaner, where the heck are you? Like, on this range. Because from the look of things, it's either you guys are, you guys are not, suffering from all the human right violations, directed by black people, towards white people in South Africa, or you are just not that Afrikaner, at least not according to the Trump administration. You're not white enough. You guys should, first of all, stop chilling with your black friends because, it's tilting your, how do I put this? First of all, whoever came up with the name Afrikaner, that man was a genius because it has Africa on it. Now, the way that I, I've never been to the US, but the way that I know the US is that they are very good on labels. Because they have labeled everyone. You have, Native Americans, African Americans, Mexican Americans, Asian Americans. Like, at this point, I'm just wondering, how the heck are they gonna call you guys? Because are they going to call Afrikaner Americans? Because at that point now, every black American will be like, okay, hang on a second. That sounds familiar. African American, Afrikaner American, at this point, first of all, you guys are going to be confusing a lot of, the heck out of white people and Mexicans and Chinese. So it'll be like, okay, what's the difference between Afrikaner American and African American? Well, for one, the other one is in Afrikaner language here, to which everyone will be like, what the heck is that, mommy? Because for one, there are only two countries that use Afrikaans as an official language, South Africa and Namibia. So, at this point, I'm just looking forward to how this whole thing is gonna go. Like, is it going to be Afrikaner Americans or African Americans or, Americans? Because if there's one thing we have come to learn about white people is, they left Europe and then went to, to North America, and they labeled everyone minus themselves. So you have Asian Americans, African Americans, Asian Americans, African American, Mexican Americans, and then you have white people. They're not calling themselves European American because they are from Europe. Now, let's look at the whole, where these names come from now, shall we? African Americans means they are people that find themselves in America, but they are originally from Africa. We have that out of the way. Moving on. Asian Americans means these are Americans that find themselves in in North America, as of what you call today as United States, but they are originally from Asia. That's good. Mexican Americans, these are Americans that are finds themselves in the US, but they are originally from Mexico. That's good so far. And then you have white people. All of a sudden, it's like they just fell from the blue, and then there they were. But let's look at the history now, shall we? If you look up the words, plural, Mayflower, then you see that this is a type of a bot literally a boat, that a bunch of white people shoved themselves on, and then they ran away from a lot of domestic, you know, some very dictatorship type of domestic and foreign policy of King George III, for the most part. And they ran from Europe to America. So there is a literal immigration issue taking place there. For those of you that make fun of our brothers and sisters that, that run away from the, you know, from the very questionably, you know, democratic leaders of Africa so they can run to Europe in search of good opportunity. Well, we are not the first ones to do that. For the most part of the 15 and 1600s, it was white people doing that. I don't know, like, every now, now that black people are doing, black people are doing it, everyone is making fun of them. When white people were doing it, when they were running to South America and North America, because the leaders in Europe were so greedy, they kept a lot of the resources for them and their, you know, and their closest homeboys. Why does that sound familiar? Oh, look, that's Africa today. A lot of those a lot of those Africans that are leaving this continent and literally getting on boats, and some of them trying to swim across the Red Sea to get to Europe in search of better opportunity, 1600 and 1700 and actually 1800, that was why people are running from Europe. So if you look at it, we are all just looking for opportunities. Minus those 49, those ones with, 49 Africaners that left South Africa for alleged human rights violation. Those ones are just creating content for me. Those of you that remained, congratulations. Welcome to Africa. According to Trump, you guys are not either Afrikaner enough or not white enough. One of these two. I'm not sure which one. For one, I'm not Trump. Now, let's take some of the, let's take a listen to some of the words coming out of this story. Oh, now, on this one, I decided not to to carry the burden of, of speaking. I decided to hand it over to the, SABC News, who, some of them were on the ground, taking the videos, and they had the, their fancy South African microphones, capturing everything. Right. So, SABC, please take it away. What's happening about, please give us an update of what's going on. This whole, refugee. You see, for those of you that say white people, there's no difference between black people and white people. Guys, there is a difference. Just look at the, refugee things going on there. Well, for one, black people refugee, when black people becomes refugee, black people themselves have to run to a country that accommodates them as refugees. But when white people are becoming refugees, that country sends them a jet that then flies them out of the country they are running from. You see, there's a big difference. Now, here's the thing. This world problem number one, apart from the obvious one being that, well, we can, we don't need sunscreen, and they do. I know there are a lot of black people that run around and say, well, actually, I can't be under the sun without sunscreen. Really? Go on Google or find out for me, when was sunscreen invented? Write that down and then find out how many grandparents of yours that survived without sunscreen before your behind was born. Nonsense. Well, SABC, please, catch us up on this South African, no one is calling them that. Actually, Western media is very brutal on that one, which one thing that I, for one, am enjoying. White Afrikaners. I was like, wait, what? They are black ones? Look, I know that every time someone gets a tender, at least here in Namibia, and they don't, every time a Namibian, or let me just say, every time a black person in the, okay, not every time, they are very good black people that finishes their projects. Now, the problem is, some of the black people, when they are given a government tender, they like to chop the money, and then abandon the project. Now, how you know that someone most likely chopped the money and abandoned the government project is that, Instead of, for most of the abandoned projects that you see out there, government projects, on the other side of that project is a black person that thought they can, give themselves the status of Zwart Boere. Which I'm told translates to black farmer. And except one problem, this Zwart Boere, the Zwart part is correct. The Boere part is terribly wrong. Not because he's black, not because he's black. It's because the idiot doesn't even have five plots. Forget it. The idiot doesn't even have an elf, let alone a farm. But I still love my country. Well, hence they given black Afrikaner my behind. And what the first thing they do is step one, abandon the project. Step two, buy him, get himself a Land Cruiser, a pair of khaki shorts, and then he starts, driving from one service station to another speaking broken Afrikaans, which is even better than mine, because may Afrikaans say moi, may bro say moi. It make me mistake me. Now, but anyway, let's find out what's going on in the, our dearly departed, in a good way, not in a funeral way, our dearly departed, they were 49. They were 49. What's 49 in Afrikaans? 49. 49. I googled that one now, so I don't make the same mistake that's still getting Dwight, Dwight and HD crack up this, today. I thought 9:30 was, Nyehe Derta, But anyway, SABC, please take it away.
A 49 group of white Afrikaners have arrived at the Dulles International Airport in Virginia, just outside Washington, D.C. Let's just listen in to some that sound there.
Of Afrikaner-owned land rebutted by the International Relations Minister Ronald Lamola speaking in Pretoria, as well as President Cyril Ramaphosa speaking at the African CEOs Forum in Abidjan earlier today. But Donald Trump, Bongiwe, still not swayed by the explanations from the South African government that there is no wholesale confiscation of Afrikaner-owned land, nor are they being persecuted or the victims of a white genocide.
States of America. It is such an honor for us to receive you here today. This is the land of the free.
Land of the free. Sorry.
And we know that all of you have faced... I'm Chris Landau. First of all, let me introduce myself. I'm the Deputy Secretary of State of the United States. This is my friend Troy Edgar.
Yeah, I'm the Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security. And again, welcome. It's so great to have you guys here.
I know you've gone through a long flight. I cannot believe there are babies and children who are actually so well behaved. This is much better than mine. So bless you for...
That guy, step one to welcoming his visitors, is making fun of his kids. Father of the year, ladies and gentlemen. But please, sorry to interrupt. Moving on.
For that, and... I think it makes me so happy to see you with our flag in your hands, and that flag symbolizes liberty for so many of us. Many of us, our families have had a journey not that different from the journey that you are embarking on today. My own father was born in Europe.
Thank you very much for that very nice introduction. My own father was born in Europe. Man, I'm loving. Look, you have got to love the internet, guys. Because, well, before the internet, we would not know what, what's going on halfway across the planet. But now, we do. So you were saying your father born in Europe. Please go on.
And had to leave his country when Hitler came in the 1930s and made his way to South America first and then eventually to the United States. So he is an immigrant who actually, you know, was able to benefit from the many blessings of this country. And one of the reasons that I really wanted to go.
See, he is an immigrant. His father, that idiot's father, is an immigrant, according to his own words, who was born in Europe and then ran away from, from an Austrian painter guy that thought that, the only human beings, the only people that qualify to be human beings are those ones with blue eyes and blonde hair. Now, well, he doesn't have, well, no wonder his father was kicked out of the country. He doesn't have blonde hair, so that makes a lot of sense. But anyway, please go on.
Work for the government is because I wanted to give back to this country that really brought freedom to my family and allowed us to escape a very difficult situation.
You see, the goal here, you see, the message here is that wherever you find yourself on this planet, if you are, you know, if you see that the environment where you find yourself is oppressing in any kind of way, there is on this earth a very selfless country called as United States of America, land of the free. If you go there, you're free. Under one condition, you must be white. You're welcome, but please, go on.
In another country, so, you know, I know that this is...
But even if you, you know, point of correction, even if you're white, you must have some specific, I don't know what traits they were looking for, because out of 8,000 applicants, maybe they are still going through a bunch of them. Obviously, they are still going through a bunch of those applications. So far, they've only taken 49 out of those 8,000 applicants. Man, what the heck are they looking for? Holy Spirit somewhere in your nose? Jeez. Now, I still maintain that a bunch of guys that are applying are those ones without land. Now, if you see one of these guys with land, you know, with a farm, who is applying, please help them fill that application form. Tell them to, you know, quickly, you know, complete it. And tell Trump to hurry the heck up. Please. Thanks.
It's going to be, you know, any adjustment in life, any change takes a while to get used to. But I want you all to know that you are really welcome here and that we respect what you have had to deal with these last few years. We respect the long tradition of your people and what you have accomplished over the years. And I am sure that you will be successful. It's, as you know, a lot of you, I think, are farmers, right? You, when you have quality seeds, you can put them in foreign soil and they will blossom, they will bloom. And
point of correction. When you have genetically modified seeds, that's the American language. I'm just here to interpret this whole thing. I'm here to make a few things clear. But please, go on.
And we are excited to welcome you here to our country where we think you will bloom and we will hopefully allow you to have fulfilling lives for your children. And then we will bloom and we will benefit alongside you. So thank you very much for coming here.
Yeah. On behalf of President Trump, Secretary Noem, we're just so grateful that you guys are here. You know, everybody within DHS, we've been so excited to be able to get you guys here to process, to vet, to everything, so you guys get a really warm start. After all the, I was tracking your flight, 12 hours, that you were last night. I'm like, oh my God. So thank you for just the patience of being able to get here. Very similar to Chris, is our Secretary Landau, is that my wife came from Iran. Same thing, persecution from Christianity. And
his wife came from Iran. His wife came from Iran. I'm not the only one that heard that, right? His wife came from Iran. Isn't that the same country they want to bomb the heck out of?
She's come here. She now speaks five languages. She's a school teacher. She's a great American story. And we just, we're so grateful. I think Chris and I both just wanted to come and make sure that we greet you guys, we meet you, give our contact information to you. And if there's anything that we could do, we're just, we just want to welcome you personally. We look forward to, after this, to be able to spend a little bit of time with you and get to talk to you guys. So thank you guys.
I think and I hope and I trust that you will find that the American people have very open hearts.
Yeah, they have open hearts, and a lot of young people are very trigger happy. And I love the state that they chose, because, you know, if I was told to move to the U.S., Texas will be my last place to go, because, well, for one, you can, you know, it's much easier to buy a gun than to buy chocolate for some reason. So guns are not really a problem. Countries like Switzerland have also, I think last time I checked, have more guns than people. It's with, you know, without the right regulations, oh, guns are not going, are going to ruin your day. Now, that, and also, like every guy that likes playing video games, especially the combat ones, I'm a huge fan of guns, but really, thank God they're far away from me. Because, well, I feel like I'm at that place where I don't have the discipline to own a gun. Because, you know, the fact that you can afford to buy a gun doesn't mean you have the discipline to own one. These are two different things. There's a reason why the military goes through all that rigorous training before they're allowed to carry one. It's about the discipline. It's more about the discipline than the weapon itself. At least that, you know, that's just from a comedian standpoint. Call it a special, you know, a refugee status.
We are a very receptive.
They are not receptive. Because, you know, they are accepting, you know, you guys at the very same time that they are deporting others out. So, receptive is not how I would describe it, but let's wrap this up now, shall we? Because on the other side, I have, you know, my own African leaders here to make fun of.
We're a very friendly, welcoming people. And, you know, today is the first day of your American...
Okay, now he's just like, we are very friendly, welcoming people. We are very friendly, welcoming people. If you're white. And one of the very few. And also, you know, being white is not enough. You have to be white and meet some other criteria that I have no idea what they're looking for. But that's their first batch. They just hopped on a plane, and thank heavens they arrived. And they, well, now it's time to assimilate in the community. So a lot of those, the challenges we'll obviously have to face, especially kids, is, South Africa is an English-speaking country. The language transition is not going to be much of a big deal. But it's going to be very tricky. Especially for the, you know, especially for the elders to hide that Afrikaner accent, that's gonna come out. But for kids, it's gonna be, you know, for kids, it's very easy. For kids, it's very easy to fit in. It took me like less than 3 months to master Setswana. Because first of all, I went to school. And, my parents on the other hand, it took them a while. Because, well, I spend a lot of time with my friends at school, you know, speaking the broken type version. And when you're a kid, you don't really care about the, you know, how you are breaking up the language. And, you know, the more you break the language, the more you actually, you know, get laughed at, a bunch of your friends are going to be making fun of you, and you'll be correcting those mistakes, and in no time you'll master it. But when you're an adult, you are scared to make mistakes, and then, obviously it takes you long enough, plus also the mind is just not as moldable as it, when you're an adult, as the ones that you find in kids. Now, so we are going to take a quick break. I just wanted to brush through that, and when we come back on the other side, I want us to start from the land of the brave here, and then we go straight to the parts of how do I put this? Africa. This is Africa in form of in terms of leadership. But with the leadership, before we get to the African leadership, we'll start, let's just talk about African leadership.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Audio mnangeshefa no hara kushivifa oma akuro e kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM enya mukuru olongaha ninge kwatafano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita timwe heali imwe ne heali imwe imwe nohamano that is 0817147116 mamberewa konorahita tunatu mbali o hetatu batatu ne nola no natu ninge tumo emaila Monica@eaglefm.com.na Opo mwane oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager. Wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. And as always, I'm here until the hour of 11. And, as of now, I'm left with, 57 minutes. So I have a lot of time to go to basically, rumble through and start making fun of a lot of people. And one of those people I will start with is, some guy that I'm still asking myself, should this guy be participating in politics? Now, you have to understand that, part of me. Okay, first of all, I love history because of that, I read a lot of it. Now, because I read a lot of it, I also happen to be a Christian. That means I have read my fair share of the African history, of Christian history. Now, the newly appointed, I'm just laying the foundation for my next part of, of the cooking. If you are a Catholic, you may want to fasten a seatbelt on this one. The newly appointed, Pope Leo the 14th, Pope Leo the 14th has called for the release of journalists imprisoned for reporting the truth. Okay, first of all, let me start with my supporting. I mean the media. A lot of people have been, imprisoned. And I think it's just, it's easy to speak for those that have been imprisoned. Other countries usually just, put prison, journalists in prison. Now Israel just snipes them. That whole prisoning thing. That's for diabolical countries like Russia and China and Iran. I mean, who'd imprison a journalist? The only democratic country in the Middle East, Israel, just sent snipers to snipe the heck out of journalists. So it's kind of, it's kind of difficult to speak for those ones that are literally dead. And for some reason, the most democratic country in the Middle East, aka Israel, has killed a fair share of journalists. That's in less than, what, like 3 years? Less than 2 years. Jesus. But anyway, the Pope is calling for those of you that have imprisoned anyone that is, any journalist to let his people go. Now, when I was reading that whole article, I couldn't help but keep picturing, Moses telling Pharaoh, let his people go. Now, I'm just sitting there wondering, is this the Pope speaking as, someone interested in politics? Or is this a message from God? Because you really have to make it clear. Because, look, Moses made it clear to Pharaoh that the God I worship told me that you have to let his people go. Now, Humboldt was not very clear in his message here, who is sending you here? Because you have to understand that Moses was very clear. His communication with the Pharaoh started with the instruction coming from God. Let his people go was the instruction. And, his people were the Jewish people, turns out. And, that was followed with the clarification of what punishment would befall the Pharaoh if he does not follow through with the instructions coming from God. Let his people go. His people are the Jewish people. And if you don't let them go, frogs, will come around you, locusts, and then you have boils and your water will turn to blood, blah, blah, blah. All those things. Now, Homeboy, I will give him a break because, bro just got popped. So, clearly he's still getting the gist of being a pop. So, which is why the information here is just, it's not clear enough for, at least for Christians like me. Bro just said, just called for a release of journalists imprisoned for reporting the truth. Okay, at least we know, release the people. The people he's talking about here are the journalists, clearly. The people to be released, well, those ones are clear. Now, if you are in prison for stealing or, the charges like rape, murder, kidnapping and all those things, you are on your own on this one. Pope Leo XIV is only interested in the release of those ones that have been imprisoned for reporting the truth. Let me repeat that again. If you are in prison for reporting the truth, the Vatican is with you. But if you are in prison for murder, rape, shoplifting, blah, 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 well, you're on your own. And, you're on your own. But what's not clear here is, what would happen to those leaders that will refuse these instructions? Are we looking at the same, type of punishment, frogs, the whole sea turning into red, or, boils, or locusts, or does, the big guy upstairs, did he upgrade his punishments, instead of locusts, how about we make it, what's worse than locust? Let's make it COVID-19, but this COVID-19 is specially tailored for, for presidents that have been imprisoned journalists. Now, this is a presidential COVID-19. If you are an ordinary P like me, you are not going to get it. If you are an IP like executive directors, for example, you're not going to get it. If you are a VIP like a minister and all those things, you are not going to get it. If you are a VVIP like president, now you see, and you have not imprisoned any journalist for telling the truth, you are not going to get it. But if you are a president or a minister and you have imprisoned, or anyone in any high position, and you have imprisoned journalists for telling the truth, then you get the COVID-19. So, this is the part we're supposed to clarify now, but he didn't. So we're hoping that in due course, as he gets used to being, you know, the Pope, he will be more, he'll provide more clarity in a way that, he communicates his messages. Now, when I was reading that article, I also couldn't help but, For some reason I started thinking in Afrikaans. Like, okay, what if the Bible, for example, was written in, like, take for example, Tura Afrikaans? Don't you think it's high time we need our own translation? Like, we have the King James Version, you have the New International Version, you have the English Standard Version, you have, we have the Pidgin English Version, which I have in my phone. I would read it for you, but, it's in my phone now, I can't access it, but, you'd love it. I think it's just high time we get one. Okay, we get one in, like, in Tura type of English. There are two countries, I have to be honest with you guys, there are two countries that I don't think, if I went to these countries and attended church, I don't think I would last an hour without being kicked out of that church. And these two countries are Jamaica and Nigeria. Now, you are just sitting in church as a Namibian, and instead of hearing the pastor say, God bless, bro goes, Jah bless. You see, I don't think I'll be able to contain myself. Bless us in the name of Jah. I don't think I'll take that serious. I'll think he's joking. That's not because there's something wrong with Patois. I mean, Patois itself, more like the pigeonized English type that's spoken in most, if not all parts of Jamaica. It's one that is, how did it get here? Okay, most of us thought it's only the type of English people smoke after they have, people speak when they smoke weed. That's what I thought, until I was told, actually no, it's a genuine language spoken in Jamaica. Like, hang on a second. People take that serious? Like, yeah. And then, you look at, Pidgin English. Yeah. I know, right? Jah bless. Yeah, I know, I'm not laughing. Now imagine an entire sermon being preached in Jamaican English. I don't think I will sit there and, I don't think I will be converted by that sermon. I'll be converted to hell, that's for sure, because I would just laugh my lungs out. And the Nigerian one, on the other hand, that one is even worse, because you have to ask yourself, how did I don't know about all of you, but I learned about I learned about Pidgin English through Nigerian movies. Now, some of the characters that brought me Pidgin English were Sam Lokoife, aka Papa P, and then John Okafor, aka Mr. Ibu, and then you have Osofia in London and all those guys. None of these guys are serious with anything. So actually, it took me a while to learn that was a genuine language, Pidgin English. I thought it's just some broken English lumped together for comedy purposes. So even to this day, I worked with two Nigerians back in 2016 and 2017. 2016 and 2017. It took me a while to realize that actually they were not cracking jokes; they were just trying to communicate a message. It turns out, first of all, Bele means pregnancy, Pikin means baby, and You the crazy? Are you crazy? What? Now, it turns out, if you go in your, I'm not sure if you iPhone guys have it in iStore, is it App Store? But if you go in Play Store, you will find it, you will find the, a whole Bible. A whole Bible that's written in Nigerian English. Basically, Pidgin English. Every time I'm bored, I just go to that, Bible and, read through it. Un momento. Let me get it for you. We'll just read two verses. Just two. You're gonna love this. Mind the gap with Helmut. I'm not here for any serious conversation. If that's what you are looking for, you've tuned into the wrong station, at least for this time of the day. If you have a good sense of humor, fasten a seatbelt. More on this on the other side of the break. Where were we? There we are.
Olio mnangeshefa ne wahara kushivifa oma akuroyo kupitira mohorike radio station awayo Eagle FM. Enya mukuro olongaha. Ninge kwatafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa konorahita tu natu, mbali oheta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. What sorcery is this? Right, moving on. So, what sorcery is this? Oh, yeah. No. Wrong one. This is why I need my phone, because all my materials is in there, but, I don't want to deprive you guys of all my jokes. What kind of nonsense is this?
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The Lord has done it finally. 18 minutes past the hour of... 18 minutes past the hour of... 18 minutes past the hour of 10. If you just tuned in, you're listening to... you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM, and our first stop is my favorite book in the Bible, and that is Matthew chapter 24. This is a Nigerian version. And Jesus, they come out from the temple, and disciples, and you should see how that disciple is written, I swear. Believe me, you want to see how that disciple is written. Disciples, can show how the temple building be. Jesus can tell them, when they see all these things, and you want me to be serious in a church with a language like that. And also, there's nothing wrong with the language. It's just how it got to me. This language got to me through comedy. So if I got in a church and the pastor opened the Bible and went, Jesus can tell them, when they see all these things, I tell una true word, when the time reach, one block no go there on top, another one. Because, this building, I swear, this is what it says next. This building go scatter finish. What? This building go scatter finish in church. I really want, okay, how many of us wants to visit Nigeria? Not, I mean, we just, what? Not to, everyone wants to go to Nigeria, maybe for the good food, maybe for the good culture. I'm all for the culture, especially for there's a northern Nigerian tribe that is known for taming hyenas. I just want to see how those guys do it. Like, really. Not get close enough, no, just, just that. But one of the things that that makes me want to visit Nigeria is so I can just sit in the church and listen to a pastor reading the Bible in this language and everyone going, amen. I'm like, hang on a second. You guys are taking that serious? Chapter 3. As Jesus sit down for Mount Olives and disciples, committam for corner, ask him, Matthew tell us when these things go happen. Okay. Sorry. The time where you go come don't reach. Jesus answered them. You see, this one thing I like about Bantu language, guys, because I've never been to Nigeria. But I can read it because it's so phonetic. Just the way that you see. Just read it like that. Not the same thing that you see with, you see with the English language, that water has an R at the end, but well, it's not heard in the pronunciation. And it's the same with Afrikaans. Water. But it starts with a W. Oh yeah, what kind of nonsense is that? But, Bantu languages are so phonetic. You can just read it as long as you speak a Bantu language, because your native language and whatever Bantu language that you are trying to learn, have a lot in common. I've been trying to learn Swahili through an app called Duolingo, and I've come to learn that, it's one of the easiest language you can learn. Any Bantu, anyone that speaks a Bantu language can master Swahili in no time, because most of the words in terms of pronunciation and spellings are a lot more similar than a lot of foreign languages that we are cracking our heads trying to master. But moving on, Jesus answered them, make una shine una eye, make una shine your eye, well, shine your eye. I have heard that line a lot in movies, but I've just never thought that, it's a genuine professional communication type of language. Here is Mount Olives. For Christians will understand this much better. This is Matthew 24 on Mount Olives. Jesus is predicting for the most part, two predictions. One is the end of the world, is the end of the world. One is the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem, which happened in AD 70. Fun fact, that's the same time that Mount Vesuvius fried a bunch of Romans, in the story of Pompeii. But, so they're asking him, what are the signs of the end of the world? Nigerians, so you see, actually, this version is the one that should be used in all churches. Make una shine your eye, you make una, and Jesus answered them, make una shine una eye, so that nobody go fit deceive una. What? Many people go come with my name, they say, I be Christ, we be the Messiah. And them go deceive many people. Una go they hear rumor say what they happen for different places. Okay, serious. Look, I have enough sins. I wanna go to hell because of my own sins, not because I made fun of the word. Okay. Two more minutes. This time, let's put that aside. So I'm thinking, if we have versions like that. The reason why I feel like, the reasons why a lot of Christians are not able to reach Tura boys is because they are talking about, languages like this. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the building. No, man, write it in a language Tura boys can understand. Then you can, maybe have a standard chance of baptizing them. But the problem is when you have too many Tura boys in church, at least for the first month of baptizing a Tura boy in your church, that whole month, you must all be praying with your eyes open, because, well, the way some of you people leave your cell phones in church, a Tura boy is gonna be, it's not that a Tura boy will start stealing stuff. It's just that you'll be tempting him to go back to his, old ways that he supposedly have forsaken after, the whole baptism and stuff. But anyway, so I think we should, come up with the Afrikaans version. Not the, I know we already have the Afrikaans version, but we want, the Tura type of English. The same way that you have the King James, which is coming with 1611 English. 17th century English, and you have the New Standard Version, which, accommodates a bunch of born frees and a lot of Gen Zs in terms of English. Okay, born frees maybe, but Gen Zs, those guys need their own Bible. Like the one that starts with, and Paul came in and said to Jesus, and sup, man, are we, we're gonna go to Jerusalem and to preach to some of my peeps, Gen Z type of language. Oh no, that's not how Gen Z speak. That's because I'm a millennial. I have no clue what you guys do. Now, when you say, Tura type of Afrikaans, what do you mean, Helmut? Well, here's the thing. Who are we going to ask to translate this? First of all, there are a lot of Tura boys out there. Just get them. Now, here's the thing. Jesus opens the future of the, okay, forget all that. This is what it will mostly come out like. You remember that part of the Bible when Jesus is getting captured and Peter asks his, takes out a knife and says, should we stake them? Yeah, just take that part, for example, and throw in some Afrikaans. Take the part of Peter, and then you can say, Peter stood out and asks Jesus, should we alles dimense steek? There you go. Peter don't steek someone's ear, the ear by the ground fall. And Jesus picked the ear, and what's glue in Afrikaans? Hello, the ear back on the maniki for the Pharisee, and Alice Mensa. Wow, this is trickier than I thought. Let's start with the selling. Excellent. Let's start with the selling. Now this is the part where Judas is communicating with the Pharisees and a bunch of those guys that he found, because that's very Tura-like culture, Bro just grabbed the phone and he's now selling it. So that's, I think it's more, linear. So, actually, among Jesus' disciples, the only one that portrays, that has a lot of Tura type of traits is Judas. Not that Judas, Judas guys are, not that Tura boys are, Tura boys are snitches, or more like backstabbers. If anything, guys in high positions backstab each other more than Tura boys do. Who betrayed Thomas Sankara, Compaoré, his childhood friend, and also fellow black person, and who betrayed, who is this, Patrice Lumumba? Oh yeah, Maniki say ear off gestiek. Yeah, I know. And this is where my Afrikaans now shines better than those 49 that are in the US now. Patrice Lumumba, Mbutu Sese Seko. In Africa, one thing we don't want to acknowledge is that even though we have a bunch of foreigners that are coming in and stealing our resources, we are giving them a leeway to steal those resources. One, by backstabbing those ones that are standing in between us and those guys that want to steal resources. Take, for example, if, you know, if there's a leader that wants to take care of the people and they don't want to sell the resources to, on a peanut price to a bunch of foreigners, we betray them ourselves, you know, so that they can give us this mansion, money to build ourselves mansions like the ones that Mobutu Seseko built for himself, which are now being engulfed or more like reclaimed by Mother Nature. I know. So, picture Judas being a Tura boy now. Picture the Bible written in Afrikaans, but the Tura type of Afrikaans. And then Judas is just, you know, walking around the chilling, Ekverkoop. To the Pharisees, Ekverkoop may Lord and Savior, you know, very cheap price. And, you know, the Pharisees, you know, come to him, and the Pharisees came to him and said, Ufiel, Jeferkoop, this your Lord and Savior, because, capture and crucify Daimaniki because, well, he's ruining our economy. You remember last week, you know, we were just having, you know, good business, you know, selling doves in church, and bro came and opened the, all our carriages and all the doves went flying, and we didn't, you know, we made a lot of loss that day from our business. Yeah, Daimaniki. Jay said that Jay sell Daimaniki to us. Ufiel, $100, and Judas is like nie. It's nie $100. It's a okay, 3 silver coins. Is it 3 silver coins or 30 silver coins? I don't know. I'm not a pastor. Derta silver coin, Verkoop. I will point it him out for you so that, Alice and, and Die Army, Daimaniki capture and, fat, Bay the desert for crucifying purpose. I'm so going to hell. Which is why I need a break.
Olio mnangeshefa ne wahara kushivifa oma kuroyo kupitira mohoriki radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mukuru olongaha. Ninge kwata fano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heali imwe, ne heali, imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mamberewa konorahita tu natu. Bali o hetatu vatatu ne nola no natu nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And Yona was sent to Nineveh. Diere Prat van Yona Yona Hesen, Yona, ran to Nineveh and Prat demands that if, they, baptize me, exile their behinds on fire Hesed. That would be one heck of a Bible. Yona was scared to do it. That's scared to death, right? And anyway, Yona was scared to do it. And, Yona Tashish, Khan too. And, Yere, Hesin, that's to see, right? Yere Hesin that, Yona, Khani to Nineveh. Yere sent, the Hrot fish to swallow Yona and, transport, his, big time, right next to him, Judas. And, the fish, Khan Rechit, that's straight, right? The fish, Khan Rechit to the boat where Yona was, and, Yona Heswalo, and, free transport. Provide Yona free transport to Nineveh and and Yona die mense van die Ninive gepraat die word van die Here and alles mense in Ninive to Here geconvert and alles de baptized and when Yona returns back home after you know 3 days of going AWOL, Yona's wife Pratt say, where the heck were you this whole 3 days? And Yona was like, my love, Yere sent me to Ninive. And, believe it or not, the grotfish swallowed me and, you know, took me to Ninive. Yona's wife. Just how dumb do you think I am? Jay think ekesa dumb. Yona exile you behind her stick. That's if wife Yona's wife was a colored or a damara. You know, something. I'm so going to need bodyguards after this. 24 minutes left to the hour of 11, the time, that's the time, and if you just tuned in, you are listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM, and from the look of things, today's violence will take me either to hell, or, you know, it's going to set me on a collision path with either Nigerians, Jamaicans, Damaras, and Coloureds. But let's come back to something that is, you know, less, you know, there's something that does not, threaten my afterlife, or so they say. Zambezi region records teenage pregnancies in 279 teenage pregnancies in 2024. Well, they are busy, that's for sure. The Zambezi region recorded a total of 279 cases of teenage pregnancies last year, according to the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sports, Arts and Culture's Deputy Executive Director, Ida Bourne. Oh dear. And that is, teenage pregnancies are not only a concern in the Zambezi region, but in the country at large. How, you know, why that's not surprising at all. And then, between 2021 and 2023, the country recorded about 7,454 teenage pregnancies, with 77 from the Zambezi region during that period. Okay, it seems like, we are not going to avoid sex education, are we? No, we won't. But there's one that, you know, about African leaders that I want to, you know, cook before, also you have one about, Kawandenge's political party that sounds like, you know, with a name that sounds like an apology. Asoli, seriously, dude, what were you thinking? And, looking for, yeah, this one here, Ibrahim Traore. Moving on. Well, let's start with Angola offers Namibia oil gas support. I would have gone with oil and gas support, but oil, comma, gas, seriously, guys? I mean, seriously. Pray for me, guys, if you are laughing at my jokes also. What the heck? Now, Angola has expressed, following the, you know, our president's visit. Angola has expressed a readiness to assist Namibia in building its oil and gas sector, drawing from its own experience in the industry. What experience, really? Like, seriously, what experience? João Lorenzo is one of those guys that is doing something remotely towards regulating this industry. Because the previous administration was about just, you know, they just had a bunch of family members in a lot of executive positions within this industry and the government itself. And then the interesting thing is you'd see a lot of guys. This is something that all politicians across the world have in common. American politicians steal stuff from there and then, you know, buy stuff, you know, steal money from American taxpayers and buy stuff in Europe and Africa. African politicians steal taxpayers' money from Africa and buy stuff from Japan and Europe. And then, well, you know, European politicians will steal taxpayers' money in Europe and buy properties in Africa. Politicians do this all the time. Now, which is why I don't understand when civilians on the ground in all these countries hate each other. Like, guys, whether you are a European citizen or an African citizen, if you don't have the, whether you're a citizen in any of the European countries or a citizen in any of the Asian countries, African countries, Middle Eastern countries, ordinary citizens, like, why the heck do you even, why the heck do we have to hate each other? We are both by being screwed because put in mind, all these politicians, they know each other. Like, seriously, on a personal level. They know each other. If you look at it, most of their kids are married to each other. And then they come on the ground and tell us to hate the heck out of each other. And, to push an ideology like that, you have to come up with to push the mentality like that, you have to come up with an ideology. Like, you know what? Those ones are white people. You must hate them. They will come to black people and tell you and I that, well, those are white people. You must hate them. And then they will go to white people and tell them that, well, those are black people. You must hate them. And they will, they will see that, Arabs and Africans. Okay, how do you say these ones? Well, these ones, you can't make them hate each other on the, on account of race. But you can make them hate each other on account of religion. Those ones are Christians, you must hate them. They'll go to Christians and tell them those ones are Muslims, you must hate them. And they will go to Muslims and tell them those ones are Christians or Buddhists, you must hate them. And at the end of the day, we all hate the heck out of each other. Without realizing that the people at the top, they like each other. They do business together. Their kids marry each other. Let me give you an example. If you, an ordinary idiot, finds yourself in a relationship with any of the aristocratic guys, oh, your behind is cooked big time. But if it's any of those high profile guys' children, that's not a problem. Why is that? I have a story for you, but it's one of those very long stories, and, you know, it's just a boring one. You have to understand that before we came up with democracy, there was this thing called, absolute monarchy. In simple words, that's a bunch of guys with a privileged bloodline started claiming that, a big, powerful guy, surrounded by a bunch of guys with wings upstairs, told them that power is only to remain in them and their family. That lie, we believed it, we ordinary people, we believed that crap all across different civilizations for over 1,000 years. That's when the French were like, hang on a second, guess what the behind is going on here? Hang on a second, you're telling me there's a God who wrote the Ten Commandments, right? And he loves all of us equally, but decided to take power and only gave it to you guys. And every European aristocratic guy was like, yeah, pretty much. That's what he says, not us. The French were like, get out of here. The French started protesting and they started separating the heads of their kings and queens from their bodies, and they had, everyone in the royal families were like, uh-oh, these guys are not joking. They were like, okay, hang on a second. He told us another thing, God is always playing tricks on us. He said there's this thing called democracy. Now, but, the thing is, we can now have a constitutional monarchy. Which is now what England, basically a lot of countries. I don't think there's any countries that's under absolute monarchy. Maybe a bunch of, maybe a bunch of those Arab countries, maybe, but a lot of, a lot of countries in Africa. I know Morocco is a constitutional monarchy, and the UK is, and I think Eswatini is. All these guys have kings and queens, mostly kings. Wonder why. Here's the thing. We figured out that for many years, they've been lying to us. And if you want to understand just how much people in power love power, you have to understand that for over 3,000 to 5,000 years, they have been marrying each other's, you know, they have been marrying their aunties, uncles, relatives, heck, cousins, for them to keep power in the same family.
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Parata's Flex bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Skyfi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit paratas.africa/Namibia, all our branches nationwide. Always prepare.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. 15 minutes before I call it a day, the line is 083-288-401. Now, where was I? Democracy. I started with different politicians stealing their country's money and then buying stuff halfway across the planet and all those, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? The relationship with Angola must be a good one. Now, Angola has expressed a readiness to assist Namibia in building its oil and gas sector, drawing from its own experience, you know, in the industry. President spokesperson Alfredo Hungary says Angola's experience in the oil and gas sector has the capacity to provide adequate training to Namibians. Okay. Angola has built a capacity in the oil and gas sector, providing training to Namibians in Angola and has demonstrably shown readiness to assist Namibia's oil and gas sector. This follows President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah's work visit to Angola, focused on strengthening cooperation in agriculture, trade, oil, and gas last week. But that brings us to democracy. Now, our democracy discussion is going to take 13 minutes. And, I really have to sum this up. Because, a few days ago, Russia celebrated one of its very popular holidays, secular holidays, and that's Victory Day, where they celebrate, this is an annual holiday where they celebrate, the defeat of Nazi Germany. And a lot of African leaders, including the president of military junta, which whatever, you know, title you want to give him, Ibrahim Traore, was also invited to, to Moscow. And, that guy's visit was something else. You know, during Queen Elizabeth's funeral, when your VIPs were shoved on a bus, a tender which I still maintain should have been given to Silas Ndabuka, how could he have gotten the bus there? He's a businessman. I'm sure he could have figured that part out. But anyway, here's the thing. One very simple of putting Ibrahim Traore's travel to Moscow was, I didn't expect that. Because I think Bro wanted to charter a plane to go there. And Putin was like, relax, I got this. Bro did not only send, one of them Russian fully customized for presidential travel type of planes to Burkina Faso, but also send it with full fighter jet military escort. You talk about security. But anyway, Bro lands there. And one of the things that, in his speech, one of the sentence that captured my attention was, where you know where Ibrahim Traore said the help you in reference to Russia, the help you can give you can give us above everything else is the transfer of knowledge. At this point, I'm thinking, what type of an African leader is this guy? Because this is the part where people are asking for iPhones with two SIM cards. Keep up, my brother. You're gonna die broke. And he's asking for the knowledge. Oh, come on. You know, Mercedes-Benz with two engines, iPhones with two SIM cards. The list is endless. At least that's how I know my country. It turns out, when you look at speeches like that, you really understand the reason why this guy is worldwide famous. A lot of people that are proponents of this guy's rise to leadership, and a lot of people that are not, that oppose his, his the way that he rose to power, they all have one thing in common. They are all, we're all asking ourselves one question. Has democracy failed? Now, that's a very difficult question to answer. Oh, no, it's not a very difficult one. Democracy has not failed. The practitioners of democracy have failed democracy. Every leader that seems to have been voted into power have made a lot of questionable decisions that have led to a lot of economic problems that have led to a lot of Africans leaving the continent and some of them literally dying in the, in the Red Sea. Most of these people are coming from the quote unquote democratically elected, countries being run by democratically elected leaders. So the problem here is this type of fame is both good and bad. It's good in a way that well, change is long overdue in the in that direction. At least so far, Bro's domestic and foreign policy, both politically and economically, is impacting a lot of young people, and he has gathered himself a lot of audience, especially among the youth, both at home and abroad, both in Africa and outside of Africa. Now, every leader that have been, especially those ones that have been in office for 70 years, and they are barely walking on a stick, and they are still talking about, I'm gonna run for office again. Why? In heaven? But, now, these are the guys that are winning elections by a landslide every single year for the past 50 years, and they are the ones that are turning around and calling him a military junta. Now, here's the problem. Young people are following his leadership more. And now I have to clarify on the part of this is both a good thing and a bad thing. A good thing in a way that change, like I pointed out, especially in terms of natural resources ownership, natural resources nationalization, something BlackRock made clear in 2011 that they are not very happy with that. Natural resource nationalization is a fancy way of saying that a country coming to, a president coming to power and trying to come up with both foreign and domestic and economic and political policies around natural resources that enables that natural resources to benefit the people more than a bunch of multinational conglomerates somewhere in Switzerland. Well, BlackRock made it back in 2011 that damn natural resources nationalization is threatening international investment. Let me translate that. Natural resource nationalization is threatening a bunch of foreign thieves from Switzerland and a bunch of foreign countries from stealing natural resources from specific countries. Now that we have gone through the translation, let's get to the bad side of this type of reputation. This is where the message this is sending is that every military leader can take over power without following democratic processes. Now, here's the thing. A lot of leaders like him, he took over power in very non-democratic ways. And his people seems to love him. He seems to have a lot of follower base both in Africa and abroad. And this is across people of all races. And it's very uniting to look at through social media. So The problem is, you see, my fear is a bunch of guys that are looking forward to being military dictators are now looking at that and going like, you know what? I'll just follow that procedure, take over power, and then start oppressing my own people. And that has happened before. How do we make sure, how do we tell between which military hostile takeover of power is a good one? Has the people at heart, and which one does not have the people at heart? Now, the reason why that one also is a very giant, vague statement to make is because we have been practicing democracy for a very long time, and a lot of democratically elected leaders don't have the people's interest at heart. Now you see the confusion. A lot of them have a lot of their pockets, iPhones, 2 SIM cards, Mercedes-Benz with 2 engines at heart, not the people. But they got to power via democratic means. You see the problem. So the dilemma here is, has democracy failed Africa? Is it time to move towards, military? You know, is it time that we shift the executive power from the presidency to the Ministry of Defense? Is that what that means? I know I'm saying all these things as a comedian. But, as a comedian, I overthink a lot of things and I ask a lot of questions. Lucky me, I have a microphone in my face every morning, and you got to hear me rumble about all these things. Fasten a seatbelt. So, on victory days, President Putin decided to, in his speech, also thanked, Burkina Faso's contribution to, the defeat of Nazi Germany. I had no idea that Burkina Faso contributed about, give or take 30,000 troops that fought in World War II. That also led to the defeat of Nazi Germany. Okay. Now, there are a lot of, Africans, one of the painful part of the, of the history, of the French colonies, is that after the defeat of Nazi Germany during World War II, a lot of French soldiers, obviously, were invited for parades to celebrate the victories and everything. A lot of African soldiers that fought alongside those soldiers, the white ones, that were being paraded all across the streets of Paris, were excluded from the parade. And when they asked for equal pay, some of them were, let's just say they were shot at by the very same people they fought alongside during World War II. You see, when you look at all these things, and also you have to thank the internet on this one. Every time people have tried to hide information from people, especially the ordinary people, it's always, the leadership hiding information from the people on the ground. The people on the ground have always come to know this information, and it never ended well. Ask Papal Rome. Papal Rome learned the hard way that for a very long time, they hid the Bible from the common people. They didn't only hide the Bible, they also hid education. A lot of people during the medieval times, especially going backwards, they were not able to read, and that was on purpose. And they did that so that, every time a religious guy took the Bible and read it to a group of quote-unquote commoners, those commoners had no way of finding out if the idiot quote-unquote priest was lying to them or not. They just had to take his word for it. And a lot of these guys were lying through their teeth. A lot of religious centers, they had paintings of what they called hell, a bunch of people burning in hell. And they used those depictions to tell everyone that was getting in church that if you don't pay this amount of money in there, this is going to happen to you. And a lot of people, that's not in the Bible, by the way. And a lot of people paid a lot of money over a long period of time. And then a German guy came in. Germans are always ruining things with their invention. By the Gutenberg guy. The one that popularized the printing press. He's not the one that invented. That's Chinese technology. I know. You know, these guys will take credit for everything. So Gutenberg invented, popularizes the printing press. And the first book that's mass published is the Bible. The guys did not like that.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you. Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just $300 a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit Paratus.Africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. It's just a minute past the hour of, it's just a minute past the hour of 11. If you just tuned in, you are listening to, Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. And 11 o'clock is Zuma Salicho time with Franz and Vomana Lisa. Now, so the question is, if you look at the follower base of, that the current leader of Burkina Faso has just acquired, and how much appeal and influence he has on the youth, you have to ask yourself one question: has democracy failed, or are the practitioners of democracy once again have failed? Have failed the system, because, like I always say, there's nothing wrong with a lot of people will tell you that a lot of people that don't believe in a religion will tell you that they don't have a problem with religion. They have a problem with people practicing the religion. So it's the same thing to some degree with democracy, because for a very long time, a lot of African leaders have tried to embrace democracy. But this democracy has been misrepresented, especially in terms of how of who to prioritize as soon as they get to power. So voting is, elections are conducted, and every 5 years is the same person that keeps winning the election for the next 40 years. And this guy does not give a crap about his own people to the point where his own people are swimming across the Red Sea in search of better opportunity. And halfway across the continent, these people are called all kinds of, derogatory names under the sun. Do you think a lot of people that are finding themselves in foreign countries are happy with African leaders? Like, at this point, if I was an African leader, I would be scared to death. And I would start asking myself one question. What is the right thing to do now? Because clearly, as you can imagine, I think Ibrahim Traore is getting a lot of African leaders to ask themselves one question: what have we done so far? And are our people turning against us?
Have you listened to Boba Doum? He said.
That's Franz Nengel. Come again.
Have you listened to what Boba Doum said?
The president of Botswana.
What did he say?
I think he used a young boy. I'm not sure what he did. That's the right term. Ibrahim Traore, says something about changing his country, and then the next day he implements it. But for the most part, he speaks about the bureaucracy that's involved in a lot, you know, in a lot of the ways that we do things right now.
Yes. So those bureaucratic structures.
Yeah.
Are the strong feature, are the strong pillars of democracy. They are deliberately designed because democracy was never, it's not a model of prosperity.
Okay, now what is the model of leadership that we are that's going to most likely going to dominate the African continent, because young people seems to be seems to be idolizing Ibrahim Traoré. That shows the influence the man has on young people.
Yeah, but then he paid the price to be, you know, for him to be where he is now.
Yeah,
and he's in fact paying a price for that.
Now the question is, has democracy failed Africa? Is that the message you're sending?
Democracy has never prospered anywhere.
Uh-huh. That explains India and China, so yes. That's one of those common debates. Yeah.
It has never prospered in any country.
So we should just go straight to a military dictatorship.
So now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Well, let me just take you back. You see, Syria was an example of, you know, Syria was during the late Bashar, the senior, Assad. Syria was prosperous to the point that people in Syria had the basics. You see? And it was an embassy of a certain country that decided, no, this cannot be in a third world.
Yeah.
So if you know what I'm talking about, it was an embassy of a certain country.
Yeah.
That decided to bring chaos in Syria because Syrians were prospering, and that's not how democracy works. And if it doesn't work, it should not work in any other country. So prosperity is not up to, in fact, it's not the fault of African leaders that we are here where we are today.
Why did we adopt and follow a structure we knew it has a less success of working? I mean, less chances of working.
Okay, that's another topic. But the issue is, look at Libya today.
Oh yeah.
Libya during Gaddafi. It was an example, the beacon of it was, you know, Libyans were having, you know, they were having hope and future. It was another embassy. It was an embassy of a country that decided it can never be like this in Africa.
Right. So the question now is, apart from democracy and maybe socialism and communism on all, because there are a lot of, forms of power that's obviously going to be adopted in the near future. Which one do you think we are gravitating towards?
Well, I don't know how you call what Traoré is doing. Maybe it's Traorism.
Yeah, sure, let's call it that.
Yeah, maybe it's Traorism that is going to be a model or a model of governance in Africa.
For you to have
Traorism in your country, you must be prepared to meet your ancestors if need be.
Because it all depends on the person that's in power. Do they have people's interest at heart? Because clearly, you know, I'll take it that Traoré is being revered by his own people, because they feel, at least from what they have observed so far, he has their interest at heart. But the thing is, obviously not every military guy that will forcefully take over power will have the people's interest at heart.
No, in fact, it's not about military guy.
Uh-huh.
It's about the persona of the person.
Yeah, because we have seen the lack of interest of people at heart even in democratic elections.
Yeah, because who cares about who? I mean, you think the Zelensky cares about an Ukrainian?
No.
You see, or Biden cared about who? it's about the persona of the person that is in power. But the issue here is, it has never been what they seen in Syria and they came to see in Libya. It is not supposed to be like that in a third world country.
Okay, at this point, we may as well just, stop holding elections and start holding job interviews if it's about the personality of a person. Oh, honorable president, you will take a seat.
No, look.
Tell us about yourself.
It is not about the president of Namibia or what they are able to do and what they are not able to do. It's about whether or not what they are doing is pleasing whoever is behind them.
Like campaign contributors?
No. Like I told you, it was an embassy of a country that decided Syria cannot go this way. There must be chaos.
Obviously, a lot of private interests
were threatened. So it was an embassy of a country that decided Libya cannot prosper this way. There must be chaos.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So if you come up with, to say you are going to give every Namibian $1 million today, and it works, and every Namibian start to have a house and start to do, somebody is going to rise up and say Namibia cannot continue to be like this. There must be chaos.
France, can you imagine the level of inflation we're going to have if everyone has $1 million?
No. Somebody will rise and say Namibia cannot be like this. Because your poverty is what makes the other person stronger.
No kidding. 11 minutes past the hour of 11, so it's Masalicho time. For moi is until tomorrow, same time, same place here. At least on the comedy part, on the serious part, we're going to meet again in the afternoon. That's on Home Run with Helmut and Dwight. Until then, y'all have a good one.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.